continuing our series called Gospel Change, and today is the ever-important topic, like how to study the Bible. So we've moved into discussing the spiritual disciplines like prayer, Bible reading. We're going to discuss fasting in a few weeks, and we gave an overview last week and talked about how discipline without direction is drudgery. If you're like me, you can probably think back on a time when you there's a hobby or a sport that you became obsessed with. Maybe it was even like something else. It could be just a movie series or whatever it was. But there's a time in your life when you became obsessed with a certain thing. And for me, I'd say around the age like 10 or 11, I became obsessed with soccer. And here's why. Because my family, we were visiting some family like 2 hours away from where I grew up. And they were hosting an exchange student from Iceland. And I'm not sure I even knew what that was when I was that age. Like, where's Iceland? Where's that? Like the North Pole? What is that? And so there's this guy from Iceland, and he just could take a soccer ball, and he'd go out in their yard, and he would just, like, juggle it for, like, what seemed like hours to me, just, like, off the ground, and he'd keep it going. And I was a kid, and I was just like, I've never seen someone have this kind of mastery over a soccer ball in my entire life. And so as a kid, I start picking up the ball, and I'm just, like, trying to do what he's doing. And, of course, I can't do it. It's like one bounce off the knee, it's into the field, right? And I just kept trying and trying and trying. And I bought my own soccer ball. And after several months and years, I could finally do what this guy did, you know? And I thought, I want to play soccer. And so I started training myself. And I wasn't on a team yet. And so I finally joined a team. And then after a few years later, I end up myself buying PVC pipe and building a regulation size goal in my backyard, right? So I can practice on this net that I had purchased. And so I began to discipline myself. Why is that? Because I had a vision of what I wanted to become. I had this picture in mind of what I wanted to become. And so I set out to pursue that. And so that became like the thing that I just, and that was the moment where it crystallized where this was the sport I was going to try to become good at. And so I'm sure that many of you had this similar situation where you can think back on a time when you became passionate about something, and so you began to discipline yourself towards an end goal because you had that end goal in mind, and that may have happened at some point in your life. So in our spiritual lives, if we don't have direction about who God wants us to become, then discipline is going to be drudgery for us. We looked at 1 Timothy chapter 4 last week, where it says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And that was our key verse for really framing the whole section on discipline. If we keep this picture of godliness at the center of our minds, we're not going to dread the disciplines. We'll end up delighting in them. And I really believe that. We shouldn't think of godliness simply as good behavior. I know when you see the word godliness, you think of like, oh, someone who just behaves themselves. But really what should be at the center of that, as we discussed last week, is this love for God. We aim at love, discipline will follow. If we just aim at discipline, and that's it, it's not going to last. It's not going to stand the test of time. So today we're discussing how to interact with the Bible as part of our disciplines. And I'll just warn you that this might seem a little bit more like a workshop than like a sermon. But I think you can tune in this morning. So there are several ways that for us to engage the Bible. And we're going to move from, like, the simplest of ways to the more complex way. So how should we engage the Bible? Well, the first is just simply hearing God's word. Now, this is very simple. This is not just hearing someone. I don't mean, like, just pull out an app and hear someone read the Bible. That could be part of what you do. But I'm talking more about hearing God's word, like, taught and preached on a regular basis. If you don't have a steady diet of this, you will not grow. You know, I have known some people throughout my time in ministry where they have said things like, you know, I just don't really like listening to sermons or listening to people preach the word because I get antsy. I can't sit still. I can't listen very well. And so I don't do sermons. I'm more of a doer. I like to get stuff done. I'd rather go serve people in need. And I would say that's a worthy goal. That's a noble task. And that's great. Serving is great, but everyone still needs to sit under the teaching of God's word in some capacity. D.L. Moody, he once said this, "I've never found a useful Christian who wasn't a student of the Bible." So if all you want to do is just go do stuff, which is great, but there's no Bible informing it or shaping it, it's going to fizzle out, or it's going to go off into some bad theological territory. So there are no shortcuts. We can't just have, like, our personality can't be a cop-out for hearing about God's word or studying the Bible. In Luke 11, Jesus says this, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So the point isn't to just hear it, but to keep it. That means to obey what God says and to grow in Christ's likeness. So we can't obey what God says if we don't hear his word taught consistently. I think about the church I grew up in. I had this great youth pastor and a great youth group experience. But at my church, where I grew up, I didn't enjoy going to the main service all that much. Like, my church is one of those churches where they had the youth thing at, like, in the earlier hour, and then everybody went to the main service together. It was like one big migration to the main service. And I can still think of just how bored I felt. And my church had those pews that you sit on, so like they don't conform to your body, so you get uncomfortable. And I remember just my dad had this watch he'd wear, and it had the ticking hands, and I would just watch the clock until it got to a certain time when I knew this thing was going to end. And I didn't like the music. I didn't like the style of the preacher that we had, and I just felt like I was just bored out of my mind in those environments if they weren't, like, youth group related. But a few years ago, I was going through some old stuff in my house, and I found this, like, these sermon notes from when I was a kid or a teenager. And I was taking notes on what this pastor that I didn't really even like what he was saying. And I was writing all these notes about it, and I was, like, somehow ingesting these things, and I was taking it in. And so my parents made me go to this thing that I didn't really want to attend. And it's a testimony to me of how, even though I didn't enjoy it as a kid as much as I thought I should, that God was still teaching me through those sermons, hearing God's word taught. Even though at the time, I would say I didn't particularly enjoy them. So no matter the circumstance, we need to be sitting under the word of God. You don't ever fully understand the ways in which God can grow you and change you, even if you don't like everything on the surface. Look at Isaiah chapter 55, where it says this, "As for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." So if rain falls from the sky, which can be a rare thing here in Texas, it can't help but water the earth and bring nourishment to the earth, causing plants to grow and then fruit to be produced. There's never a time when rain falls that this process doesn't happen, unless, of course, it falls, like, somewhere in the desert. The same is true for God's word. When God's word is shared truthfully, it does not return empty. It brings water and nourishment to our lives, causing growth, and fruit of the Spirit is produced. So there's value in hearing God's word corporately as a group together. You know, many of our adult small groups here at TBC, they will listen to the sermon, and then they will go and discuss it at some point throughout the week in their groups, and they'll begin to digest it together as a community. This is also why we do breakouts on Sundays, because I'm not the only one who should have something to say. Your leaders should have something to say. You should have something to say after listening and hearing God's word. This is why we do what we do on Sunday mornings. I want to let you guys know, you may not know this, but you can pull out your phones if you want, if you have them with you, and you can get that huge QR code right there. And you can subscribe to our TBC Overflow High School podcast. We podcast these things every week. So whatever talk you may have missed, this goes back years. So we have talks from, like, over 10 years ago are on this thing. And so if you're looking for a certain topic or a certain book of the Bible, and you want to track along in the podcast, you can do that. If you miss a Sunday or you want to just hear it a second time because you feel like you didn't really get all of it, then this is a way for you to continually listen and hear about God's word being taught. The main service has a podcast up there as well that you can subscribe to. These are just ways that you can reinforce what you're listening to and how you're hearing God's word. You know, so there's also reading God's word. So there's hearing God's word, then there's reading God's word, which is just simply that, just to read the word, as we say. There's a recent USA Today poll that showed that only 11% of Americans read the Bible every day. Now, more than half read it less than once per month or never at all. This is just Americans in general. Now, you might say, well, that survey includes all of America, so it's not just Christians. So that's not too bad. You might think that. Well, if we focus on professing Christians, then the numbers look like this. 18% read it every day. 23% say they never read it at all. And everyone else is somewhere in the middle. So we've been talking about this idea, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. If many Christians don't read it, then how will they become godly? Are they going to become godly through their own strength? Through their own effort? Just flipping a switch? How's that going to work for them? We said last week that even Jesus needed to spend time with his Father meditating and praying and meditating upon God's word. And if Jesus was that desperate for it, then why do we think that we don't really need it? When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, you might remember the scene in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is one of his comebacks to Satan. He says this in Matthew 4:4. He says, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So God wants us to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So how can we do that if we don't know what his word says? If we don't know what it says. Now you might ask, well, how often should I read? Well, my question to you would be, how often do you struggle with temptation? Every day, right? That's all of us. So Jesus draws this parallel with eating bread here. So how often do we need food for our bodies? Every day, multiple times a day. So use that as a picture of how often you might need the word of God for your soul. We need God's word every day. Now, some people use what I call, when it comes to God's word, some people use what I call the Python method when reading the Bible. You guys know what a python is, a python snake. I'm sure you've seen crazy videos and stuff of like a python like strangling an animal, and then they just eat a whole deer and then don't eat for a few months. And that's how some people approach the Bible. They just think, I'm just going to read like several chapters in one sitting, and then I'm good for several weeks or several months. That's not how we should approach the Bible. You can't use the Python method when it comes to taking in God's word. We need it every single day. So here's some essentials for reading God's word. The first is very simple. It's time. Now, you need to carve out a consistent time. Now, it can be flexible, and you may have to adjust based on different seasons that you're in. I get it. But I will tell you this about time. You will make a plan of when you're going to do it, and something will interfere with it. You can guarantee it. It could be a text message that you receive. It could be your mom or dad wants you to do something to help them out or whatever it is. But something, your little brother or sister will do something crazy. The dog will throw up on the floor. Something will happen that will make you go, I can't do it now. I have to put it off to some other time. So you need to carve out a consistent time. You know, many of us look at the massive book of the Bible and we think, you know, I've got to read for school. I really hate reading. I'm not a reader. Like, that's what I was. I was not a reader. I didn't like to read when I was your age. But I know that you don't hate reading because all of us do this all the time. Don't we? We read. We just read other things. And we read like little snippets of things and quick things, and because our attention span is so limited because of how this has rewired us. But you can't just say, like, I don't like to read. Like, that's not an excuse that any of us can say when it comes to God's word. if you listened to a recorded reading of the entire Bible, if you heard a reading of the entire Bible, like someone reading it, and there are apps out there that do that, and they'll read through the entire Bible, do you know how long it would take for you to listen to the entire Bible being read by someone else on your phone? Any idea? It would take 71 hours straight. That's like 1 hour less than 3 days, which is not that long when you really think about how long a year is. So it's just under 3 days. That's less time than the average American spends watching TV every month. So if you take just 15 minutes per day, just 15 minutes, like just 24 hours in a day, 15 minutes is 1/4 of 1 hour. So you do the math. That's like 1/100th of a day. If you just take 15 minutes of a day, you can read through the Bible in less than 1 year, the whole thing. If you spend just 5 minutes per day, then you can read the whole thing in 3 years. Just 5 minutes. Can any of us say, like, I don't have 5 minutes for the Word of God? I don't have 15 minutes for the Word of God. 1% of my day, I cannot spend it on reading the Word of God. I can't do it. Can any of us honestly say that about ourselves? So when should you read it? Well, I'm not trying to be legalistic about this, but let's be wise, because for most of us, early is probably best. Not always the case, but early is probably best for most, because we don't retain that much whenever we're tired. Like if you're like me, if I try to read before bed, I'm like, I'm already half asleep, right? And if you think the Bible is already boring, well then don't read it when you're about to go to sleep. It will put you to sleep if you read it in that way. So I don't think we don't retain that much whenever we're tired. And we also don't really sin that much in our sleep, unless you're a sleepwalker, one of those people that likes to, I don't know, maybe somewhere out there. But if you do it earlier in the day, I think you'll see how God's word will impact your day. So you need time. You need a place. And this is very important. I'd recommend that you find a consistent place, a place to cut out distractions. I'd recommend that you use a real Bible, not your phone, not on a computer, where you're going to get distracted. Find a place that's conducive to reading and studying. Maybe you go outside. Maybe you go for a walk. Sometimes what I do, I'll pray through certain passages. This might look weird to the outsider, but it's just kind of how I do it sometimes. This is more my prayer life, not so much my studying life, but I'll carry this Bible right here that I have up here on the podium, and I'll just kind of have a psalm, and I'll just walk my neighborhood and like have it open and like be praying through a psalm. And you know what? That could be a great conversation starter anyway, right? But there could be other ways you find that you want to pray and read God's word, but you need a place. Even the posture of your body matters a great deal. So the place is very important as well. And then you also need a plan. So if you've never read through the whole Bible, I think that you should start there. One of my favorite plans is posted on our high school website. If you go to the church website, go to the high school website, scroll down to the bottom, and you will see we posted these two documents on there during COVID, and they're still there. And they're very helpful. And the one plan that I love is put out by the Gospel Coalition, and it is a two-year plan. It'll take you the entire Bible in 2 years, and you will read a psalm or a proverb every day as well. So whenever you're in the middle of, like, Leviticus, and you're kind of like, oh, my soul needs a little bit more than Leviticus, then there's always a psalm that you can read that's connected to that. And so I would go to the high school website, and you can see that. You can print it off and put it in your Bible. And I think around COVID, I think I went through that process two different times, two cycles of that. So going through the Bible two different times in the course of 4 years. And it also mixes in the Psalms and Proverbs four times a year throughout that process. And then also right now, just to say what I'm doing currently, is I've read through the Bible numerous times all the way through, but I started doing deep dives into books. So you guys know I teach the Bible a lot, so I pick other books that I'm not currently teaching to go through for myself, because I don't want to make it where it's like whatever my devotional time is only spent on prepping sermons. That's not helpful for me. So I got to make sure I'm somewhere else in the Bible, reading the Bible for myself, that's not a place I'm teaching currently in the Outback or up in the main service. And so what I've been doing the last couple of years is doing deep dives into books. And so I started in Genesis, and then I went to Revelation, the end of the Bible, and did that for about 6 months. Then I went to Exodus, and then I went to Jude. So I'm kind of doing this back and forth from like the beginning and kind of working my way through until I one day will meet in the middle of that process. Now, also to let you know, something that I have found really helpful, as I do these deep dives into the Word of God, I have found these journals very helpful. You can go online and get an ESV. You can get it has the words of the text, but of whatever book you're studying, and then it has a space to write notes as you go through a book of the Bible. So there's that, and then there's also this really helpful like ESV study guide that will ask really good questions with whatever book you're studying at the moment. And so I'll go through that, write my own thoughts down about a passage, go through questions right here, and there's no like have to, like I don't have to finish a whole chapter in one sitting. I might have a goal of that, but I may get stuck on a certain word or phrase and want to do more research about it, and so I'm doing deep dives right now. Now, you may not be there yet because you want to get the full scope of the entire Bible and read through it from cover to cover. If you've never done that before, I'd recommend that you try that before you start doing all these deep dives into certain books. But those are some helpful tools to get into as far as a plan. But you need a plan. You can't just play Bible roulette and go like, where am I going to read today? Flip to a page. Oh, here, this must be it, you know? You need some kind of a plan that will truly show you how to understand God's Word. And then we'll discuss this final topic more next week, or after Easter, whenever Caleb speaks about this. But the idea of meditation. Now, you might think, that sounds weird. That sounds crazy. Meditation, that's like a Eastern religion thing, isn't it? Well, no. God invented meditation before other people took it and hijacked it, right? So we'll spend more time on this topic in 2 weeks after Easter. But when you hear that word, you might picture some like Buddhist monk sitting with his legs crossed, humming nonsense into the air. That's not what meditation is. What real meditation is, it's not godly meditation. The Bible talks about meditation. It's a biblical concept. Buddhism is all about emptying the mind with meditation. Biblical meditation is about filling the mind with the words of God. It means to think deeply, to ruminate, to chew on something, like chewing food and ingesting it, like making it a part of yourself. It's more than just knowing something in the mind, but taking it inside. That's the idea behind meditation. Now, have you ever read the Bible and had the thought, I have no idea what I just read? Like you read a chapter, two chapters, three chapters, and on like verse three, your mind is somewhere else. You have no clue what you just read. So to meditate is to take one phrase or verse and think more deeply about it. Journal some thoughts maybe, allow it to shape your prayer time, and this will bring, I think, true change to your life. So don't think of it like, I got those three chapters done, on to the next thing. Pick a few sections of the chapters and meditate on those passages. And Caleb will talk about how to do that in a couple of weeks. Don Whitney, he says this, no factor is more influential in making us more like the Son of God than the Spirit of God working through the Word of God. If you want to be changed, if you want to become more like Jesus Christ, discipline yourself to read the Bible. Okay, so that's reading the Bible. Now let's get into studying God's Word. So studying is different than reading. It's kind of like what I was just talking about, where you go into a deep dive, possibly in a certain book of the Bible. So maybe after you've read through the Bible a few times, you might want to do some deep dives into other books. And I think this should still lead to things like meditation and prayer. You're not studying it just like an academic thing. But reading it, I think, gives us like a broad view of the Bible, while studying gives us depth. So Paul is a great example, I think, of someone who had a heart to study God's Word. Paul was in prison, and he's writing the last chapter of his final letter, and his friend Timothy was about to come and see him. And in his letter to Timothy, Paul writes these words in 2 Timothy 4. He says, when you come, saying this to Timothy, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. also the books, and above all, the parchments. Now, do you know what the parchments were? Well, he's asking for a coat because he's cold, obviously, and to warm his body. And he's asking for these parchments. That was the words of Scripture. He needs those for his soul. So Paul's at the end of his life, and Paul has seen the risen Christ. Paul's even written Scripture, and he still saw his need to study and meditate on God's Word. Just think about that. Paul was one who wrote the words of Scripture. He'd already done all that, and yet he's still saying, like, I need the words of God. I need the Word of God for my own soul. Now, what I've seen many high school students do over the years is, you know, I mean, it's interesting because I get to look and see everybody out here in the on the morning, on Sunday mornings. And we open up God's Word. And what many students will do is we open up God's Word and they yawn. Or they're more consumed with whatever's on their phone. That happens a lot. I mean, I love when the person that plays video games, like, sits on the front row. I'm just like, why would you do that on the front row? You know, it's just kind of an odd thing. You're trying to, like, make me feel bad about the sermon. Is that what it is? But they're just more consumed with whatever's in front of them versus the Word of God. Or they might say things like, you know, I already know all this. Like, whatever y'all talk about down there, like, I already know all this. I've already heard all of this before. I've heard that before. You know, that's really an extremely arrogant statement to make. I mean, you're 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. I mean, you could study this book for the rest of your life and still just be scratching the surface. That's how I feel most of the time. I feel like I'm just scratching the surface. But Paul knew how desperate he was. Why do we neglect the Word of God? Paul knew how desperate he was and knew he needed it. Why don't we see ourselves that way? And then this other, read this next quote, and this is going to confront you and me. Here then is the real problem of our negligence. We fail in our duty to study God's Word, not so much because it is difficult to understand, although it is that, not so much because it is dull and boring, it can be that sometimes, but because it is work. Our problem is not a lack of intelligence or lack of passion. Our problem is that we are lazy. And I know when I say that, you're like, why are you judging me? Number one, I'm judging myself because I feel this way a lot of the time as well. Like, you guys think that we have it all together. Like, you think that your leaders, like, have it all together. I don't, and they don't. We still struggle with reading God's Word, and we still struggle with praying to God. Trust me, all of us do. I am not above you in this scenario. But I do want to ask you this question. Have you ever been sitting in a church service, and everyone is, like, caught up in worship or caught up in the moment, and maybe you look at people and their hands are raised, and they just seem like they're so worshipful in that moment, or you hear them in the sermon and they're just really tracking along and you're hearing all the little subtle amens and stuff and they're just really tracking whatever's being said from the front, and you're sitting there and you're a believer and you're just sitting there and you just feel like, man, I don't feel any of this morning. Like, my heart just feels like kind of cold towards God right now. And you almost find everyone else's, like, response and worship, you almost find it repulsive. You're kind of like, what is up with them? Like, they're weird. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that is? Might it be because, like, you're not spending time with him? And the only time that you do it is when you walk into a building like this? Might it be that your heart isn't primed to, like, really hear what's being said? Or to sing the songs that are being sung? And do you know how I know that you experience this? Because this is what happens to me. Yes, me. I experience this. When I go several days and my heart's not been primed to be with God, and I just walk into a a church service. You know what it's like? It's like whenever you're, you know, when your parents, like your bedroom light is turned off, you're asleep, and your mom or dad walk in and they just turn on the light and they're like, "Wake up!" And you're like, "Ah!" And your eyes can't you can't handle the light. You're just like, "I can't." What do you? It's just so abrupt and so in your face. It's kind of like that. Like you just sort of been living in darkness all week, right? Not saying you've been doing crazy stuff, but like you're just not exposed to the light of His Word. And then someone just turns the light on, like in a worship service. Now you're just like, "Ah, this is annoying. Stop it." That's kind of what it's like for us. And I know it happens to you because it happens to me. And so I don't have it all together, and I struggle just like you do. This is partly why I can struggle to talk about this topic, because sometimes I can feel like a hypocrite talking about these things. So maybe there's those elements for you, but or maybe you truly don't know where to begin or how to do it. And so it's on your chairs, you guys have a card that I made like years ago. And if you want to take several, feel free. If you don't aren't going to take it, just leave it. We'll pick it up and we'll save it for next time. But this is a card you can slip inside your Bible. And it has one of the ways in which you can think through a passage, read a passage, answer some questions, maybe write down in a journal, write these thoughts down. It also can help you understand, like, how do I pray through a passage and let a passage inform my prayer life, which is a helpful tool we've given to you. We also have a handout. If you go to our high school website again, you can download from there. There's three ways, one of which you have in your hand with the card, but there's three ways we've listed there on the high school website on how you can take a passage and go through it with various methods, very simple ways to do that. So what I encourage you to do is don't get stuck in a rut. Try different methods and find something that really helps you. Don't settle for the spiritual meals that someone else has prepared for you. It's amazing when you can start to discover things for yourself and gain insight from your own study. A couple of questions for you. If your growth in godliness were measured by the quality of your Bible intake, what would be the results? So perhaps another way to say this is, what if you ate food as often as you study the Bible? Would you starve? Would you be like super skinny? So think about that as it relates to our Bible intake. And then secondly, what is one thing you can do to improve your intake of God's Word? Just one thing or two things. Start small, and then I think work your way up. I mentioned atomic habits last week. Like, you start with 5-10 minutes, I think you'll be surprised at what God does in that short amount of time. It will make you begin to crave it more as you do that. I heard a story recently about a man who lived in Kansas City, and there was some kind of an accident where he was in an accident, and there was an explosion, and he was severely injured. He lost his eyesight, and he lost both hands. His face was disfigured, and he had recently become a Christian when the accident happened, and he was now disappointed that he could no longer read the Bible. And then he heard about someone else, who had learned to read Braille with her lips, and he ordered some books of the Bible in Braille, and he tried to do this, but even the nerve endings in his lips were so badly damaged that he couldn't even feel the Braille on his lips. And then one day, his tongue accidentally touched the Braille, and he realized, "I could feel that." And he ends up reading through the entire Bible 4 times, using his tongue, reading Braille. That is someone who recognizes how desperate he is for the Word of God. Reading God's Word is not about having enough time. It's about desire. And so are we that desperate for it? You guys are going to go to your breakouts now. So you guys, I think, know where to go. If you're new and don't know where to go, come and see.